Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel-toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Dude, look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I pull the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Garden Report. It's Bobby Manning here with Josue Pavone as the Celtics roll to a 9th straight victory. Sherrod Blakely going to be joining us as well. And ton to talk about. Josue back, Sherrod back, John and Jimmy out tonight. We talked about a ton of stuff last night, Josue, that it's pretty much going to be a repeat of last night's show. This bench is rolling. The interchangeability down the stretch here is off the charts, and it is truly rest time for these Celtics. We sprinkled in a little bit of Jrue Holiday concern as well last night. He misses his third straight game here with injury, so this is pretty much a repeat of last night's. Not quite the blowout last night's game was here. The Bulls gave it to the Celtics offensively, so we can get into that a little bit.
Yeah,
this is a possible first round preview as well. So where are you going off the top with this one, Josue? What's your biggest takeaway? And welcome in, Sherrod.
Man, where to start? I guess just the way the Celtics just put that fourth quarter together, like towards the end, especially with Tatum, you know, doing a little bit of playmaking, but also getting his offense going. Like, he had a tough night until he finally found his rhythm. But man, other guys, like, you got three players scoring over 20 points in this one. Obviously, the three-point shot was huge. Hauser, I swear, I was saying with Sherrod before, like, he's going to flirt with that record, I guess, somehow. You know, one way or another, it feels like maybe he even gets closer before the end of the season. But, man, 7 three-pointers, Al Horford turned back the clock. But I hate even saying that because Al's known to do this from time to time when he gets these opportunities, right, when he gets these starts. So it's more of the norm, I feel like. And I guess my question for you guys to throw out there, just from looking at the way everything played out, when's the last time an opponent, I should say, scored damn near 60, went almost 60% from the floor, and the Celtics won that game? I know, like you said, Bobby, it's the Chicago Bulls, but this is like close to perfect of an offensive game you're going to get out of Chicago. And look at the score. I mean, yeah, it's not a blowout, but the Celtics won pretty comfortably at the end. And of course, the three-point shot and the way things got going, you know, the momentum really did create that distance. However, it's still impressive. It's worth noting that, you know, the Chicago Bulls, this was the best shot they got, especially in this chance at this point in the regular season where, you know, playoff implications and all that's on the line for these guys. But man, like, this is just one of those games where I feel like DeRozan was like, I cannot beat the damn Celtics. Like, it's always one way or another. These guys beat me.
Yeah, I mean, they
a good question.
Go ahead, Bobby. What?
I was just going to say, question. I'm going to look up who shot 57% against them and lost. That does have to be rare.
It doesn't happen very often. But you also have to balance it with the fact that the Celtics, I think, were like plus 14 on the boards. So even though the shooting was pretty comparable, Boston absolutely smacked them around the glass. I mean, your boy, Luke Lemonsquare, had a damn near double-double. Was very impactful. He did a lot of good things in this game.
I don't even have to say it anymore. It's so
almost
obvious.
Messed around and got a double-double. Look at him.
Yeah, but he was very impactful in this game. Al Horford, I mean, this was like Atlanta Hawks multiple all-star Al Horford.
Before he came to Boston? Okay.
Yeah, this was free Boston Al Horford we saw tonight. And as you pointed out, Sam I Am is that guy. When it comes to knocking down a three ball, he is creating major concerns for the scouting report of opponents, because now you can't just look at him and say, well, man, you know, maybe we got to maybe pay a little more attention. No, he's on a scouting report, and you guys knocking down 6, 7, 8 threes in a game, and he's done it multiple times. And the only reason he didn't break the record, you know, about a week or so ago was because he got hurt. Yeah. So
that's funny you say that, Shrive, because when Monty Williams was in Boston on Monday, in his pregame press conference, I think someone asked about Sam Hauser, and he said, last time we played the Celtics, he was on our scouting report. And I think you've mentioned that a couple of times, Josue, this year, that he is becoming a guy that opponents have to account for. He's becoming a guy opponents talk about in their pregame press conferences, in their pregame meetings. He's that dangerous. And Yeah, when we came out of that game on Sunday, and he hits 10 out of 13, and it looks like he's on this scorching tear, and he goes down, you're like, oh, because it's almost inevitable that ankle injury is going to diminish the tear he had been on. But he goes 7-8 in this game, picks up right where he left off there. Last game against Detroit, I want to say he went 4-11. So not as great in that game, but still 36% coming right off the ankle two games later. So he hasn't missed a beat too much since that injury and only missed two games. Huge sigh of relief there. I thought we were talking about at least a week with that ailment, but here we are just 6 days later and he's 7-8 from three.
And this is a problem for teams because now you can't really – when you put him on the floor with Tatum and Brown and Porzingis, what you going to do? Who are you gonna, I mean, all of those guys are either able to get their own shots or they have a matchup that they can take advantage of to where even when you're defending them, you're not really defending them. Sam has grown very comfortable knocking down shots in your muck. Tatum can beat you off the dribble. Jalen can beat you off the dribble. Porzingis, he can hit you with the elbow jump shot. He can hit you with the three ball. He can hit you with the dribble drive finish. The Celtics are becoming a major problem for teams, and it's not just the top-tier nine-figure players. It's the Sam Hausers. It's the Peyton Pritchards. And that's when you start looking at them as not a team that you hope can win a championship, but a team that you should be expecting to. Because you're talking about guys that, in terms of their whole, you know, hierarchy, they're on the bus, but they're at the back of the bus, and they're giving you problems that guys in first class will be giving you. And so the Celtics, they're just continuing to seem to get stronger as a team as we get closer to the playoffs, which is something that I know I was a little bit concerned about with this group. How would those guys at the end of the bench or in the middle of the rotation who aren't the stars? How would they be playing as you get closer towards the playoffs? And the more we see them play, which we're going to see more of them as we finish this thing out, the better they seem to look.
Yeah, and I know John had concerns about that, at least how this would translate to the playoffs. And you mentioned your concerns, Sherrod. With each passing game, I know you and Joe Sway talked about this on your podcast, A-List. You're giving these guys more rhythm. You're giving them more consistent minutes. You're giving them more time with the starters. Hauser gets a spot start tonight, Cornette. Alongside Horford, and we'll get to that in a minute. Pritchard has gotten numerous spot starts in recent games, and he's gotten going now. He had a good game tonight as well, again, I thought. So you're building momentum into the playoffs for these guys, and that's important because at least Hauser, Pritchard, and sometimes Cornette, and of course Al, who, you know, you put in a different stratosphere than these guys, you're going to need them at spots. In spot minutes, if there's an injury, you're going to have to call on one of those guys to actually join the rotation at a decent level. And depending on the style of game you want to play, they might be part of your rotation fully healthy in certain matchups. At least one of them on any given night needs to give you a good game. And I know, I think you were there the other night, Sherrod, and asked me, who is that seventh guy? And I said Hauser that night. But the more I've thought about it, and I said it to John last night, Pritchard, the combination of defense, ball handling, shooting, I think gives you the most versatility at that seventh spot. And you almost say, I think it's a little strong, but the way he's playing, I think you can say it. Pritchard has that Brogdon role going into the playoffs. The one he played in last year where he's looking for a shot, where he's knocking down threes, and his job out there, he can make a pass every once in a while, but his job out there is just to score. And some of the stuff he's doing at the end of the quarters has been so great. He hit a three to cap a quarter last night, couple free throws tonight at the end of a quarter. Yeah. It's great stuff. And he's been consistent now. He's gaining momentum, as I talk about here, with minutes, with a bigger role. It's great because...
But you know what he's not doing, Bobby? You know what he's not doing?
What's that?
He's not killing you defensively.
Yeah.
And if he's able to do all that other stuff, even if it's not at the level that Brogdon did, but it's in that same ballpark, and he's not killing you defensively, that is the perfect storm for the Boston Celtics. Because that, frankly, is the biggest concern with Peyton Pritchard. He's not the biggest guy. He certainly is not, you know, he's not Derek White. He's not Drew Holiday. He's not the big, strong, physical guards that the Celtics have. But he's a smart player. You notice he doesn't get bullied out there. Whether you're, you know, 6'1 or 7'2, he's not getting pushed around the way I think you're concerned that he would. And that's big. That's a big deal for the Celtics, because if you're able to not have him be problematic at that end of the floor, and he's giving you scoring, playmaking, those type of things at the offensive end, again, you are feeling really good when you send Jaylen Brown or Tatum to the bench, and you've got Peyton Pritchard as one of those top 2-3 offensive threats in the mix.
And the assist standout too, Josue, 8 again tonight. He's racking them up, and that's something he didn't do in the past.
Well, what I love about his game, his offensive game, and how it's evolved, is when he's attacking the rim and not necessarily having to finish there, but he's getting like those little like 5 to 7 footers, whether it's strong. A floater. He's switching his defender over to go to the other side. Like, he's getting that. He's beating his defender a lot of the time, but even if when the defender matches up with him, he's hitting him up with those short little floaters. And he's finding ways to score around the basket. And that just makes things – that just opens up the offense, because we know his capability as a playmaker, finding the open guys. He's really evolved in that regard. But I felt like it was either – a lot of the times last year, if the three-point shot wasn't falling, then came the turnovers, then came the, oh, he's a liability on defense. It was almost like a snowball effect when that three-point shot wasn't falling. That's just like a part of his game now. And I think that's a huge part of his evolution as that backup point guard, and essentially playing right into that new contract that he signed at the beginning of the year. You know, now it looks like you said, man, he kind of is taking on that Brogdon role. But obviously, we look at, you know, the Celtics backcourt beyond this year, you know that he's a vital piece in that. You know, so it was a great call for the Celtics to not only give him that contract extension, but obviously for Joe Mazzulla to give him these minutes, put him in these big time opportunities or these starts where he's continued to flourish, and all of a sudden he's putting together these 3 or 4 games in a row where he's just been consistent on both ends of the floor and just giving you a little bit of everything.
Yeah, good stuff from Pritchard tonight. We'll get back to him in a minute here. We do have the Garden Report March Madness poll rolling right now. I believe tonight it is back to the Herman Gomez region. You can vote for that on our Twitter page, Celtics CLNS. You can vote right here in the chat, I believe, as well. I'm going to update a few of those right now, pulling them up here. Right now we have rolling Sad Girls versus Blame Pie.
Ooh.
I think I'm going with Blame Pie there. And Blame Pie currently is up 64 to 36. Not many votes yet, so head right over to Celtics CLNS, and you can swing that if you'd like to. And then the one I really love,
Sad Girls are coming back. There'll be a Sad Girl comeback. I'm just saying.
I want to say the favorite to win it all right now, in my mind, is Jimmy's Fart. Fart's my dog against That's Jealous. Right now, Jimmy's Farts are at 67 to 33. That was one I highlighted right away at the beginning to potentially win it all here. So we are in that lower region of the Herman Gomez region right now. So go ahead, vote on that over at Celtics CLNS. Go check that out. And we're going to continue to push along throughout the next week or two here, just as March Madness does with our poll of Garden Report isms. Who's your favorite, Josue? I think you mentioned it before, but I want to remind everybody.
Which one, for the region or overall?
Overall.
Well, it was like an underdog, right? Shit, I'm drawing a blank right now. Which one did I say?
I'll pull it up again here.
Yeah, pull it up again. Man, which one was it? There was a couple, but yeah, you're right. I picked one, though. I picked one to win the whole thing.
Where is that? Think about this, Josue.
Come on, Josue.
No, there was...
Well, he's thinking about
it. You don't know your Garden Report isms? I'll go, Sherrod. We'll give you a minute.
Yeah, the Nassis Manning is going to win it all. And it's going
to you're going with the chalk, huh?
It's going to be the Nassis Manning and Luke Lemonsquares. That's going to be your championship.
I like Luke Lemonsquares. Oh, you got a little bit of an oldie now, though.
You got Tangway. That was my favorite.
Nah, Luke Lemonsquares and the Nassis Manning, that's going to be your championship.
Yeah, I like that. No, yeah.
I'm sad that Sad Girls might be losing. I feel bad about that one. That was a sleeper for me. And obviously, everyone is continuing to sleep on Sad Girls, unfortunately.
I'm seeing here on the main channel where you can also vote 56-44 in favor of Blame Pie. And then you have 74-26 right now on the other channel. Sad Girls is going down. Blame Pie, that's a classic. I feel like we've been doing Blame Pie for years on here. That one was going to be tough to beat, even as a lower seed here.
Yeah, but that night that everyone was getting Tangway, man, I was cracking up, man. Like the timing.
It's a good one too. There's a lot of good ones this year, yeah. So we'll check back on that later. I want to go back to Pritchard right now because we talked a lot about him last night, and the stretch for him keeps going. The Celtics won his minutes tonight by 17 points, which
best is on
pretty
the team.
Astounding in a game that was this close. So. Is this going to translate, Sherrod? That's what we keep asking. Is
Peyton?
Yes, him, but really the bench as a whole, because they've all played pretty narrow roles this year. Now we're starting to see them expand their roles. Pritchard to, if we want to call it the Brogdon role here, Hauser to doing a few things inside the arc here, and they had the defense for him too. He had a play tonight where he just kept stabbing away at a ball across the sideline, and then like after like he poked away at it three times, he finally recovered it and broke away with the steal into the backcourt. So you're just seeing little things. Luke, obviously, on the boards, 13 tonight, a tie for a career high for him. So they're expanding their games beyond what you even think about them as. That's obviously not going to happen in the playoffs, but what you're looking for from these guys, obviously, I think, Sherrod, is them to just take advantage of the small amount of time that they're out there. And then if they get going, they get another rotation, and hopefully you can keep it going into the second half. That's going to be their job come playoff time. Do you think they're capable?
I think the key for them is just understanding that your job is to do one thing and one thing only, and that's to make an impact when you get on the floor. That doesn't mean you got to score. Doesn't mean you got to rebound or defend per se. But you have to do something that's positive for this team when you get out on the floor. And for a number of those guys, particularly Peyton, I don't think his numbers are going to reflect the impact that he's going to have on this team come playoff time. When you think about his ability to run the floor, you think about his timely shot making, as you alluded to Bobby earlier, he really has shown the ability of late to just make shots when, not necessarily when they need them, but when he has the opportunity to swing the momentum significantly or to some degree in the Celtics' favor, he tends to take advantage of that. Sam Hauser is just he's in a rhythm right now that you get the sense that if he knocks down a couple of shots early on, he's going to probably play about 20 minutes. And I think if you're the Celtics, you have to be going into the playoffs thinking if he gets it going, it may allow us to lessen the wear and tear that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to have in the playoffs. Because at some point, Tatum and Brown are going to have to play major, major minutes. And the further away you can keep them from going to that point and get Sam in there and knocking down some shots, the better off you're going to be as you get deeper into the playoffs and you come closer and closer to the only thing that matters, which is winning a championship.
Yeah, and one of our commenters mentions it here. Pritchard did get a little bit more time on the ball tonight, I felt like, and he was able to assist Tatum numerous times. Led to some better pace tonight as well. More passing, I thought, from the Celtics tonight as well. 28 assists. I think that's a little bit above where they usually come in here. The Bulls had 36, which was amazing, the 7 turnovers. They were great tonight. And pesky and just stayed in this game until the late stage.
They still caught a double-digit loss. It still lost by double figures.
Right.
It got pretty close down the stretch there. I think with 7 minutes left, it was down to 105-100. Yeah. And then the Celtics just started racking up the score again. Got up to 6 with 4 minutes to go, up to 10 with 3 minutes to go. And then, as you said, Shrod, they're running away by double digits and more from there. So the Celtics closed strong again in this one. A couple of Derek White threes late. A Luke alley-oop from Derek White and a couple White free throws, as well as an O'Shea three from Cornette down the stretch of this game. So numerous contributors. What do you think is made? I want to just hit on one more thing with Pritchard before we move on from him. What do you think has made him a more dynamic playmaker this year? Because you're seeing the big assist numbers, 8 in this one. We've seen him, I think he had 9 last night. So we're seeing these more consistently from him. Obviously more ball time helps. I think he played 3 times as many minutes in last night's game as he usually does. So you expect that assist total, which has been around 2-3 all year, to triple in a game like that. Tonight back on the bench, he only plays, compared to 38 minutes the night before, 33. So he loses 5 minutes or so, still puts up 8 assists. That's just something they've talked about wanting to have from him early in his career, back to when he was playing in the summer league. That was things like even when Joe Mazzulla was the summer league coach, he would tinker with and try to develop And we're just starting to see it break through now, which is great, because when you sign a guy to extension, Josue, you want to see them grow a little bit. You know, you go from making $3-4 million on a rookie deal. I know they're just bumping him up to six, which isn't a huge increase, but you're seeing improvement from him now, a new layer to his game, which is great. I mean, this is what you want to see if you were going to let go of Brogdon and have him eat those minutes. And this is why I think you start to have a little bit of confidence in him being a Brogdon type impact guy.
I think that's exactly why, Bobby, that contract extension. I think it was able for him to just kind of just take a deep breath. You know, I know it was somewhat of a, if you're Peyton Pritchard, chaotic offseason, right? Because you're not quite sure what's going to happen. Marcus Smart's out the door. All of a sudden, Brogdon's out the door. It's like, wait, like, am I a part of your future? You're going to trade me in some, you know, put me into a deal somewhere. So I think getting that security really helped him, because it was like he wasn't always out there. It didn't feel like a tryout all the time. And what I mean by that is, like, it always felt like, or at least a lot of the times when you go out there and get these opportunities, it was like, okay, well, let's see if you can do things that can make you an everyday player. And I felt like there were times where he looked great, and then the other shoe would drop. He couldn't get his offense going. He'd get frustrated with himself. So I felt like there was a lot of, maybe not pressure, but other guys ahead of him. And I think that because there was no Brogdon, and because there was sort of a clear path for him to minutes, but also that security and that knowing that he's going to be here for another two or three years. And just like you said, it's a bit of an increase, but it's not, obviously the money is great, but it's more of the security of, okay, these guys see me as part of their futures. And I think that really helped Pritchard come into his own. And it did take a bit, right? The first couple of months, he was sort of inconsistent, especially in as a playmaker, as a defender. But I just think he really just focused in, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that he knew he wasn't going to be on the way out. You know, I think he felt like he knew that the Celtics see him as part of their future, and not just that, but a rotation player. And of course, Joe Mazzulla helping him with that by giving him minutes, consistent minutes, and he went out there and proved it for sure. And I think by now, you know, towards the tail end of the regular season, he's so confident because he's able to hone in, because he was able to grow as a playmaker and do other things outside of that 3-point shot, outside of being just an energy guy off the bench, which he's still able to do. But he's also, you know, that energy is going on both ends of the floor. You know, it resonates on both ends of the floor. Like what Shiraz said earlier, that defensive side, that's what's going to get you minutes. That's what's going to make you not only an everyday player, but, you know, you can pretty much star minutes, right? Whether Drew's out there, you know, I mean, whether Drew's not out there, even when he is out there, he's one of the first guys off the bench. And I think Pritchard's made the most of those minutes and of those spots. And this is just another example of that.
I want to get to a read real quick here in just a second. But Sherrod, that period Josue talks about, where do you think Pritchard's head was at then? And what do you think's allowed him to move past that, the frustration with the lack of minutes, him wanting to be out of here effectively, to being a important part of this best team in the league this year?
Well, Bobby, I was going to go there. I'm glad you kind of opened that pathway so people won't think I'm just like hating on Peyton. But this dude wanted out. He made it absolutely 100% crystal clear. Trade me, please.
Right.
And the Celtics were just like,
wrong. But just real quick, I just want to say, like, that's another part of it too, because let's face it, like, there's a lot of guards in the NBA, and it's going to be hard for him to sort of latch on to another opportunity. So yeah, so that's one, add that as well. But yeah, go ahead, Shrug.
He made it clear that he wanted out, and you understood why. If you're not going to play me the way I believe I can be played and can help this team, send me somewhere else. And the Celtics are like, basically, you're right. We'll give you some money, not as much as you probably want, but we're going to give you some more money. And then we are going to create a situation that's going to put you in the best position to play, help us. And then we can figure out, you know, what is that going to mean? What is that going to look like long term? And I give Peyton a lot of credit for basically making the most of his opportunity. Because when you tell a team that you want to be traded and they're just like, nah, we're going to keep you, start playing, and you get that opportunity to play more, that's a tremendous amount of pressure that you put on yourself, because the minute you don't produce, they're going to be looking at you like, well, damn, what happened to give me more playing time? We're giving you more playing time and you're not getting it done. And to Peyton's credit, he embraced the fact that they're going to give me more playing time, and he's made the most of it. He got, as you pointed out, just where he did get off to a rocky start. He couldn't make shots. That's yeah. it was that cut and dry. And the one thing he's doing now, and we've touched on it this episode, and we've touched on it previously, he is evolving as a point guard. And part of being a point guard in the NBA is making plays for others. He's done a much better job of that this year than we've seen him in past years. And a lot of that has to do with opportunity. A lot of that has to do with the fact that he knows when he comes into the game, he's not going to get an automatic hook just like that. Now, he also understands that come playoff time, his role is going to change again, because instead of a guy that's going to be out there for maybe 15, 20, maybe even 25 minutes on a good night, you're probably going to, your cap is probably going to be about 15. Most nights you probably will play around 10. And when that happens, are you going to be okay with that? And I think he is, because he's at a point now in his own evolution as a player to where I think he's comfortable in whatever role they're asking him to play, because they've shown that when you don't play, it's not because we don't believe in you. It's not because we don't think you are part of the future. It's just because there's this dude named Jrue Holiday that's better than you. You know this. There's this dude named Derek White. He's bigger and better than you. You know this. And the guys that are ahead of him now, it's the pecking order that Peyton Pritchard has now is much clearer. Whereas before, when you had Marcus Smart and you had Malcolm Brogdon in the mix, yeah, they were better than you, but there wasn't a path that you could see where you would play. Yeah. And now, even though you got guys ahead of you that are better, you still see a clear path where you can play still. And that was the thing that was missing. And I think that was at the genesis of why he wanted to be traded, because he did not see the way that team was constructed, a pathway that would get him on the court. And now when you look at Jrue Holiday, who's a little bit older of a playmaker, so you're going to try to minimize his minutes a little bit. And then you look at Derek White, who has the versatility to play on and off the ball. And then you've got Peyton, a guy who is more of a scoring point guard. He has a clear, definitive niche with this team now that wasn't there in the past. And I think that creates a little bit more of a comfort and pressure at the same time, which I think he's done a really good job of dealing with. Welcome back, Bob.
I think he's built for that. What's going on, Bob? Will Luke hit you up, man? He's like, did you watch that? Yeah. Watch that game, Bob?
Luke is mad that you have not spent more time talking about Luke. You're supposed to be
my guy. People are telling me to stop talking about Luke.
Luke called up Bobby and was like,
yo. That's the Xanis burner. That's all. That's the Jay-Z burner.
Luke called up Bobby and say, yo, you know what I do when I go to Chicago, man. But, you know, like these other guys, the three-point shot was falling. I figured I'd just grab boards, you know, and just do the other work. That's what he did.
Amazing. Yeah. You know, this was a completely different player in Chicago when he was there for a year or two. And he actually set that 13-rebound career mark with the Knicks against the Bulls in Chicago. So he does it again here tonight. I want to give a quick shout-out to our great sponsor here, Nutrafol. Perfect time of year to get started with Nutrafol as the summer looms and, you know, nicer weather comes out here. You know, you don't want to be wearing the hat like this. And I'm not going to go the John road and make some comments about Sherrod here. I'm just saying, if you got it, you want to keep it.
And that's what John Nutrafol, did that day.
John does it all the time, but you know,
it's all right,
teach their own. Sherrod's a good sport. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time with Nutrafol, they are offering listeners $10 off their first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men, that's M-E-N, men, and enter the code GARDEN when you head over there. That's Nutrafol.com/men. Go check that out and use the code GARDEN to get $10 off your first month subscription over there. It's the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding, 100% drug-free ingredients, patented technology that provides consistent, reliable results. 84% of men showed improvement in their hair after 6 months of using Nutrafol's men hair growth supplements. So again, that's Nutrafol.com/men. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend using Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men and use that code GARDEN. So let's move on to our guy Luke here. How impressed were you, Sherrod?
What's up?
How impressed were you with the performance tonight?
I was impressed more, not so much with the numbers. The numbers were good, obviously, but just the activity. just making himself present. The fact that they were looking for him on a couple of lobs that didn't necessarily work out, but the fact that they were making him more of a part of what they are looking to do offensively other than just setting screens. That's probably been my Luke. I think Luke has the talent to do more than what we've seen. And I don't buy this argument that well. You know, he's just trying to fit in and give the team what they need because they don't need that other stuff from him. But yeah, that's a bunch of BS. When he's on the floor and he's rolling to the basket and they throw him a lob, yeah, they need that bucket. When he's on the floor and he's got a 6'7" guy defending him, you might want to get a bucket on him in the paint. You don't need it, but it'd be a good thing to have, particularly when, especially if Tatum and Brown are on the floor as well, because the more points that an impact you make offensively other than setting screens, the easier you make their jobs. Tatum doesn't have to go off and score 25, 35 points a night if they can get like 7 or 8 from Luke. And Luke will have those opportunities because he's going to be their first big off the bench, not named Al Horford. So
you think that's certain now?
Yeah, I think it is. I think Luke's going to play some. I don't think he's going to play a ton of minutes, but I think the reason why he doesn't play more minutes is because, frankly, he doesn't seem to, I think, take advantage of the opportunities to gain the trust to play more minutes. Like, this was a great game.
Yeah,
this was a great game for him in terms of what he did rebounding. And he had a great block in the first half.
Yeah, a couple blocks.
Great block. Yeah, but he needs to become consistent with that. And frankly, he needs to play with a little bit more of an edge. I mean, Luke is out there and he's doing some nice things, but there's no grit, grind edge to his game. And for a 7-footer who has the ability to score around a basket, that is not the place to be, Mr. Finesse. Finesse 7-footers are, yeah. And Luke doesn't shoot enough from the perimeter to where, when was the last time Luke took a 3?
Last season.
And that was that was part of the allure of having him on your roster.
He said that so fast.
Yeah,
I know. I was going to let it go because that came out. That was just like, boom.
Bobby said April 2nd, 2023.
Exactly. No, but I think there are parts of Luke's game that I thought we would see more of and we haven't. And I don't buy the notion that he's just trying to fit in with the team. That, no. If you're a stretch big, here's the idea. How about doing some shots that show that you're a stretch big? I thought that was part of his game. At this point, Luke is not a stretch big because he doesn't like to shoot anywhere outside the paint. And if you're going to stay down there, if you're going to stay downtown like that, you need to be physical. You need to bang. You need to be willing to embrace the grit and grind that bigs are supposed to have and need to have if you're going to play around the basket the way he does.
Yeah, I would love to see more of that too as well, Sharad, because he has great hands. Like he's that guy that can give you those second chance opportunities. He's a guy who's a good passer for a man his size. You know what I mean? And also
a great part of his game again tonight. Yeah,
right. Like he's got like underrated. Those passes down low, whether it's in the paint, you know, through traffic, it's underrated. You know, we don't talk about it much because, you know, it happens every so often. But I mean, when he's down low grabbing rebounds, because obviously he's able to do this, he can do this, you know, more often, of course. But it's just one of those things where I think if he's able to just a couple up fakes, you know, absorb some contact, get the and one, I mean, that would really help things, you know, with the second unit. But
in the chat here, like, yes, he dropped a couple of passes tonight. He's shown great hands all year. Like, you don't have to be so short-sighted. He dropped a couple passes
that he didn't expect to get the pass.
Right.
I mean,
that's
what happened.
No, the first one in transition was bad, and they did tag that on him. The second one, spacing wasn't great. Horford just kind of dumped it to him. Listen, everybody makes mistakes.
Wait, no, Al was the one that threw it up too high, wasn't it? I think that was
I thought Al was.
Like, Luke was just like, come on.
Yeah, so, and then, later he got.
To me, those are encouraging parts of his game that could help the offense a bit, you know. And I think when you look at Luke in those spots, he's someone that can, we've seen it before, like a couple back-to-back possessions, getting a couple layups. Obviously, he could run the floor as well. And what we've been seeing between him and Pritchard in the last, like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks or so, I love it. The alley-oops, the give-and-goes, those type of plays. So I think if he's able to get more of that down, we'll see more of him in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, I do think I think there's minutes for him for sure, but he's got to fight for them a bit. And of course, he's easily the best season with the Celtics for sure. So I like what Luke's doing for, again, what we've been saying all season long. He's your third center. You know,
he is your third center. Give him a break.
We head towards the postseason, we'll see how much the third center. You know,
I was just gonna go there. I want to go here though instead. Check out our March Madness poll as it rolls on. A new round of voting just began. We have Farts My Dog versus That's Jealous. Gonna do an update on that one right now. And right now on Twitter, at least, Farts My Dog in the lead. And Blame Pie out to a lead in the Hermann Gomez section as well. So go vote on both channels on Celtics CLNS over on Twitter. Multiple ways to vote here, and you can push on your favorite Garden Reportism to the Final Four in a week or two here. But first, we're in the first round here. A bunch of contenders in the Hermann Gomez region. Do you think your fax machine can make the push? Nope. Just way? I know that was struggling against it. He's your third center to shout that one out. That one was monster 5 seed coming in there.
I just feel like it was a one off. I don't know, but we'll see. I'm sure people vote for it.
Yeah, again, you can vote for that. On
have a run like Brockton Wi-Fi, man. Brockton Wi-Fi, that was a heck of a playoff.
That's why I want to see Brockton Wi-Fi tournament make a return. Yeah, just a staple.
What was that?
Although, I got to say, Josue, your Wi-Fi has improved drastically over the years.
Yeah, no shit, Bobby. That's why it's not a joke anymore. That's why I've retired. That was months ago, motherfucker. Yeah, no, it has.
So go check that out. Yeah, I think we have Blame Pie and Farts My Dog. Farts My Dog was going to be really tough to beat round one.
It's going to go far. Blame Pie. I don't know if it's going to win at all. I don't know. I think it might go far, but it won't.
Blame Pie, Farts My Dog, that's an intriguing matchup. The winner of that may very well win it all.
I have Jimmy's fart going all the way. That was a big one. I'm reminded of it every outro now.
The Nassus, literally, man, that's my guy. That's my pick. You know who got there? I think maybe the crappiest draw in of all the entries. Stay Ready Crew, 7 seed. Woo! They must have lost their conference tournament.
That's a great point, Sherrod. That was a great joke to start the year.
They
should have been a little high. They must have like lost their conference tournament and lost maybe three of the last four conference games.
I think they should have been at 5. Yeah,
lost the momentum, you know.
It probably could have beat Boomer Rage. All right, so yeah, go check that out. Go vote in the poll, and yeah, we'll name a winner by the end of the month here. So go over to the main channel, Celtics CLNS on Twitter, and you can vote on that. Back to the game real quick here. The last thought I have on this game, again, it was close. It was a little contested. It never really felt like the Bulls were actually going to cross that threshold and win. I think the one thing that allowed them to stay close, and it was an interesting game because the Celtics were hitting their threes. They shot way more threes than the Bulls did, but they weren't leading by much. And by contrast, the Bulls, as Josue said off the top, were shooting 60% all game and could never take a lead. So the contrast there in the styles was really interesting in this game. Celtics won the rebounds pretty dominantly, 86 shots to 82 shots. Factor there as well in the threes, 48 to 24. The Celtics took twice as many threes and made 21 to Chicago's 9. So there's the game right there. But it's incredible what Chicago can do from two between DeRozan, who's 12 and 19 in this game, and Vucevic and Caruso, Dosunmu looking pretty good. Kobe White, a most improved contender this year. So this game was tight, but the Celtics are still fooling around here. And I don't mind it because it's experiment season. But to mention Cornette, he starts at the 5. They slide Horford over to the 4. That's the second time they've done this in a week now. You're going double big for much of this game. Luke and Tillman saw some minutes together that didn't go great. You saw Luke and Al out there quite a bit together as well. And, yeah, I'll throw Brissett out there, too, as a guy who's playing more like a big now. And he did actually show some positive minutes in this game. 3 offensive rebounds, 3 cleanups around the basket, as well as a couple cleanups around the basket as well as a 3. So you got some good minutes from him tonight. Tillman 1 of 2, couple of rebounds, couple of assists. So a little better for him, but he misses another 3. I don't know. It's a weird thing, Sherrod, because I was saying this in our group chat. Joe would never play double big last year, and now he's fully committed to it. He's trying every combination. It's a staple to their rotation late in the year. And even you know, when they play tighter, when they go into more of a, you know, playoff style rotation, if a guy's out, they're going Horford Porzingis, which does have some good minutes or some good numbers this year. I think they were at a plus 13. But this double big thing, it's interesting to me because I feel like they're not as good at playing it this year, but they're much more committed to it.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that, well, I think there's a couple reasons for that. First and foremost, Joe had an entire offseason to look at pretty much everything they did a year ago and figure out, what do you want to do differently? What do you want to do better? What should you place a greater emphasis on and conversely de-emphasize? And clearly in his preparation for this season, he embraced the fact that we need to look a little bit closer at the double big lineups and see if we can make that work. And I think it gives them another option. It forces teams to have one more thing they've got to think about in dealing with the Boston Celtics. Now, I think once we get to the playoffs, I don't know if we're going to see it as much as we have in the regular season. But it's definitely something that teams are going to be thinking about. It's something that teams are going to have to prepare for. Now, whether that preparation is actually going to manifest itself in actual increase in double bigs, I don't know. But I like the fact that Joe is showing growth and trying to do some things that maybe he didn't do as much of last year for whatever reasons he had. But the Celtics in their double big lineup, I think the other thing that is at the heart of why they want to do it more is because when you look at the guys that are in that double big lineup, who are the bigs, there's some of your most high basketball IQ, versatile ball movers. And defensively, Al Horford is still a very good defender. And Porzingis has shown himself to be a very good team defender. His ability to cover a lot of ground, doesn't get a billion block shots, but he gets his share of contested shots and he gets a block shot every now and then. But more importantly, his presence forces teams to think twice about attacking the rim and maybe pulling up for a three or swinging the ball around, which takes time off the shot clock. And for a team that's as good locked in defensively as the Celtics are, that's exactly what you want. You want teams to not look to score, to shoot quickly, because the longer they get into the shot clock, the better that is for a team that's a good defensive team. So the double bigs, I think, has been a benefit at both ends of the floor for the Celtics. And I think Mazzulla is embracing the fact that it's another tool that he will have at his disposal. It's just a matter of how much do you want to lean on that? And will that be a matchup specific type thing? Like there's certain teams, like when you play Cleveland, for example, you probably play a little bit more double big than you would if, let's say, you're playing the Miami Heat. And that, to me, just having that as an option for your roster in terms of the construction and the rotations and things like that, that's exactly what you want. That's exactly what championship teams have the ability to do.
Yeah, and I have the numbers here real quick, Joe Sway. Horford Porzingis plus 13 on the season now. Horford Cornette plus 5.6. Horford Brissett is plus 12. And then you have Horford and Tillman, which surprisingly plus 10. So they've actually broken off. It's only 38 minutes so far, but you know, they're doing some good stuff together. And so who's the commonality there? It's Horford, the common denominator in all of those. He can play that four well. And when he's knocking down shots, that lineup's a weapon. And he was doing that tonight, Josue.
Well, when it comes to switching too, I mean, he's not a liability on defense. I think that's another part of this as well. Also, if you're Joe Mazzulla, coming off of the way things went down, the Eastern Conference Finals, like, why not hone in on something that can be another weapon for you in the postseason? So I think that also has something to do with it as well. You know, Kristaps Porzingis, just having a guy of that caliber who's not only a 3-point threat, but can finish around the rim, can post up a bit, do a little bit of both. I always felt like they like that combination, but they're not going to always dump it into Porzingis over and over again. I just think maybe because of the health, or maybe it's just not, it kind of takes away from the flow of the offense overall, but having him in the mix there with the double big lineups, it's just a constant threat for the opposing team. So I just think he had to explore those options because that's a huge weapon you didn't have last year. So I think a combination of all of that is a big reason why we're seeing that more often. The coaching staff, I'm sure, like bouncing things off of guys like Sam Cassell and, you know, guys that he didn't have on that bench last year. I'm sure just brainstorming with those guys.
I know Brad's been a big fan too of double big, going back to his coaching days, of course. Right.
So just figuring things out. And yeah, Brad Stevens, I mean, that was seemed to be like his target of the offseason was to trade for someone like Porzingis just to provide those type of nightmare matchups or those type of obstacles for opposing teams night after night. I know we're not seeing it right now. You know, I hope Celtics fans aren't worried about Porzingis yet. I don't think they are, but you know, look, the Celtics are going to be careful with Kristaps. But come playoff time, when well, they're all not, out there,
it's not him they're worried about. More that. It's we'll not more, him they're worried about. They're it's worried about the other guy out tonight.
Well, his health, I should say. Here. Like, if he's going to be healthy, because he's been missing games here and there. You know, he missed five straight, came back. You know, it's just one of those things where you got to make sure he gets his reps in, but also you want to be, you know, you want to make sure he's not you want to make sure he's closer to 100% in the postseason when things really matter. So,
yeah, and we'll get to him in just a second here. I want to play a clip. Yeah, let's play a clip here first from Sam Hauser, see what he thought of this game before we move on to Holiday.
You missed time, but do you feel like, I mean, you fell right back into the rhythm?
You know, the first couple of minutes of last game, I felt like a half step slow for the first couple of minutes. You know, you only miss 3 days, but sometimes when you're getting back into the swing of things, it takes just a little bit to get back in the flow and the rhythm of, you know, the speed of the game. And obviously, yesterday was good for today, and today felt a little bit better than yesterday, so it's looking good.
Played both games with back-to-back, clearly the ankle is holding up fine.
Yeah, it's been feeling pretty solid throughout. Still, you know, doesn't feel quite 100% yet, but overall pretty good.
What's kind of feeling so good with
The fact that he's not 100% on an ankle and it's hitting you 7 for 8, 7 for 9, that's a little scary.
It's silly, yeah. I thought we all expected him to miss at least a week with what he went through there with turning it off Tyus Jones' foot there in Washington. So pretty amazing to see him out there and doing what he's doing right now. So 23 points for him, 7 of 8 three-point shooting. If you found his more or less number on Prize Picks tonight, you're loving it right now. And I... Yeah, that would have been a bold one. I don't know what they had him at tonight. I don't even know if he was on the boards. He would have had to be with all the guys that short.
Oh, if he was on the board. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So,
or if you're doing categories and yeah, fantasy. Yeah.
I bet it was less than 10. I bet it was less than 10. And so he got over that easily, above that easily. Right. And that's the fun of Prize Picks. You get some bold picks you want to go with on any given night. Head right over there and see who's on the board on any given night. I know Jason Tatum's on it a ton, Jaylen Brown, but when they're out and the Celtics are playing the bench, you can probably get some great more numbers on Peyton Pritchard, on Sam Hauser, even Luke Kornet, I bet, is on the board in a spot start on a night like this. And you can find all those over at prizepicks.com. You just pick one or two players, make your daily fantasy team, and whether they're going to get more or less on their projected stats. It's also fun just to go in there and see what Prize Picks thinks these guys are going to do on any given night. I know we do that a lot over at the Garden Joe Sway. Just see, oh, they think Tatum's going to have 34.5 tonight. That seems a little high. And, you know, you'll get some good insight like that from the app too. Very easy to navigate. And importantly for us, if you want to support the show, real easy to put in that promo code right when you open it up, CLNS. That's going to give you a 100% deposit match up to $100 when you go to prizepicks.com/CLNS. A ton going on right now, basketball, hockey. You're going to be getting baseball soon as well. The Red Sox start this week, believe it or not. So prizepicks.com/CLNS, that's where you want to go to get your 100% deposit match up to $100. Great way to support the Garn Report as well as CLNS Media and all our podcasts, including Cedric Maxwell, A-List, Dome Theory, you know, all ours, as well as our Garn Report here. So go check it out. Just pick more or less on two players and you're good to go for that night. It's fun. It's easy. Check it out at prizepicks.com/CLNS. So let's continue here with what concern you guys have about Jrue Holiday after he missed his third straight game here. According to the Boston Globe, Adam Himmelsbach saying he's dealing with some dead arm after being hit on a screen in Washington. You saw him kind of hunched over, not able to move that right arm. Good news is today I saw some video from Sean Grandy that showed him putting up some shots before the game. Looked decently comfortable, you know, getting threes off, shooting before this game. He even said in this interview with the Globetrotter that he does want to get out there soon and just, you know, test out this arm, get back into a rhythm and get ready for the playoffs. But obviously they're being pretty cautious with him right now. What's your level of concern with this injury here?
I'm very concerned. Not that he will not be able to play, but that he may be able to play and not be close to 100%. It feels very Malcolm Brogdon-like, to be honest. And we saw how in the playoffs, Malcolm was a shell of the NBA Sixth Man of the Year player that he was for most of the season. And that makes me nervous about him. Because the thing about Jrue Holiday is this. He's such an impactful two-way player that when you take away, you know, if he's got the dead arm issues, that means more likely than not, he's not going to be able to score. And you're going to have games in the postseason where you're going to need him to be All-Star Jrue. You're going to need him to take advantage of a matchup that is significantly in his favor, or certainly the best matchup that the Celtics can exploit. And if he's got a dead arm or he's less than 100%, how much will he look to be the impact player that he's capable of being? Will he defer because of the pain or the irritation or the discomfort, or will he just try to fight through it and then go 3 for 17? How is that? So yes, I'm nervous and I'm concerned that he may not be the player that he can be and should be, and the Celtics need come playoff time. Yes, absolutely, I'm concerned.
Yeah, Sherrod, I hear you on that. I'm not as concerned just because I just think the Celtics, like, seeing him get his reps in toward the end of the season, well, hopefully he does. If that goes, then I'll feel better about it. And I think that happens. But the reason why I'm not overly concerned is that I just think the Celtics team is built in a way that, yes, you'll need Jrue to go deep into the playoffs. You'll need him to get to the finals. You'll need him in those, you know, crunch time moments and big matchups and big series, maybe Eastern Conference Finals or whatever. But because that's still down the road from where we are right now, I'm not as concerned. If he was like one of those huge vital parts of the offense, which he is in a way, but in a way he sort of picks his spots, and those spots are important. Don't get me wrong. Like the pull up 3-point shot we've talked about in the past, or times when the Celtics just really need a bucket and he can create a stop and set someone up real quick, get the rebalance the offense, get everybody back on the same page. Like he's super important in those spots. So, you know, yeah, he is important for this team. If they are to go to the NBA Finals and win it all, like he's going to be a big part of that. But because it's still early and we're not quite in the playoffs now, I'm hoping these next couple of weeks he'll be able to address these concerns. So, and if he's able to do that going into the postseason, you know, obviously not 100%, I'll feel much better. But I'm not as concerned because we're not in April yet. If we're close to the playoffs or it's playoff times and we still haven't seen him, then yeah, my level of concern will go up for sure.
Yeah, and his impact has been subtle this year, but he's been that defensive coordinator for the team, so that's a given. The versatility they're able to play with in terms of multiple different systems, that's all him. And so you're going to need that in the playoffs. But more importantly, his shooting allows you to have no weak links out there offensively that teams can ignore, can play off. You saw Denver try to do it late in that game, the last one out in Denver. And he's shooting three step-back jumpers and bringing the Celtics back into the game by attacking Jokic. And it's a similar deal against any of these teams, Milwaukee, Cleveland, with rim protectors that they want to keep away from the perimeter and just stick at the rim. They're going to try to do that against Holiday. They tried to do it against Smart in the past, try to do it against different Celtics on past versions of this team. And what makes this team so great is that you can't ignore any of their offensive threats. Unfortunately, you have a Hauser, you have a Pritchard, who can hit threes too if they're mixed into the lineup, and you know Jrue's struggling out there. But what's been key for him all year is that even though he doesn't have the ball in his hands a ton, even though he's not running a bunch of pick and rolls and coordinating offense, he's able to stand in that corner and hit 60% of his threes, one of the best, if not the best, corner three-point shooters in the NBA this year. So when you hear about an arm, it's hard not to get a little worried, especially, you know, again, not the same injury, but you saw how that impacted Brogdon last year, who was so good from three all season long. I don't know how much stock I put in it, but I know in different games this year when he's been out for rest reasons, they've pointed to the elbow. I know they're listing it as a shoulder now, and it is more that stinger thing. So I think that's going to alleviate, as you know, John was telling us last night, and you know, some other people have mentioned. So I, again, I don't have a great idea of what dead arm is. That's how he described it. And I know, you know, that's, I guess, just how guys describe it, because they can't use their arm when they're dealing with this. So understandable that they're giving him some time. There's still a long way to go until the playoffs. 11 games left, and that starts in Atlanta on Monday. I am heading down there, as well as our super producer, Amit, who's very excited about that. We'll have some special guests down there as well. So two games in Atlanta. Weird week here. Weird road trip in general for the Celtics. March Madness is coming to the Garden, so that's kicking the Celtics out of the building for six games here, and they're going to spend a whole week in Atlanta playing the Hawks on Monday as well as Thursday this week. So they're going to have 2 days off in between games. Hopefully we'll get a practice down there to cover as well. So that's something you can look forward to on CLNS Media and Celtics All Access this week. Of course, we want to shout out this poll one more time. Our version, Garden Report Madness, ongoing right now as well. Polls wrapping up in the comments right now on both channels. So you can head over there and vote right now tonight.
Yes,
it's get your votes Gomez in. Region. It looks like Farts My Dog is going to move on, as well as our blame pie that we throw around after losses that haven't happened as often this year. So it looks like it will be Farts My Dog against Blame Pie in round two there. And Farts is looking formidable getting out of that first round. That's a tough round too, though. People love the Blame Pie, Sherrod.
Yo, Blame Pie.
They do. That's going to be tough. But I'm sticking with Thanasis Manning is my overall favorite. And coming out of the Kevin Jelly region, I like loose lemon squares, man.
So yeah,
Children is going to be interesting, though. They could get bounced in the first round, wouldn't be, but or they could wind up being, you know, in the final four. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, and you can continue to vote on these for multiple days, I believe, over on X. You got Tang Wade, still a day left. He's up 75-25 right now on the Twitter side. Look at this boomer actually up on Coach GPT, Joe Sway. I'm surprised about that one. I love Coach GPT on the Twitter side of things, at least. And then our two polls tonight. Yeah, but you know,
Celtics fans probably don't like it, man. He's really his popularity has gone through the roof this year with Celtics fans. So they probably take it as a diss. So they're like,
yeah, that's a good point.
Get that out of here.
Farts My Dog on Twitter up to 80-20 over That's Jealous, and Blame Pie still a fighting chance for Sad Girls, 58-41. But I think that's even more dominant over on the YouTube side of things right now. So again, last chance to vote over on YouTube before we wrap up the show here on both channels, and then Celtics CLNS. If you're looking for Jay versus Bobby, that's the point of Thanasis Manning. I think that's a big reason people think, including Sherrod, that that's gonna go the distance here. People love the Bobby versus Jay King one-on-one, and that's where Thanasis Manning came from. Mm-hmm. So
that's my pick to win it all.
Group those in together. yeah, Farts. Jimmy's Farts looking formidable. We've known that. So again, it's fun. A lot of good choices this year. I think it's very going to be very competitive down to the stretch here. So go vote on that. And we're going to wrap up the show here in just a minute. I'll give you guys last thoughts on this game, Sherrod. Anything else you want to add to this one?
No, I mean, this is what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to give your reserve significant minutes when you're in the position the Celtics are. And those guys, to their credit, they're making the most of it. Sam Hauser looking like he can't miss. Pritchard is finding different ways to impact the game. Luke Lemon Square is giving you damn near double-doubles, running the floor really well. You just start going down a roster of guys that are playing increased roles down a stretch, and they're all, for the most part, making the most of it. So it bodes well for the Celtics as it inch closer towards the playoffs. The fact that, you know, Joe Mazzulla will have some options to turn to if he wants to go deep into the bench, or he can do what most coaches do playoff time and stick to your top six, seven players and maybe have a floating eighth guy, depending on who you're playing. So life is good if you're a Celtics fan right now. Life is really good.
By the way, Joe Sway, do you know what their record is in back-to-back, second half of back-to-backs this year?
Celtics?
Yeah.
Out of what? How many games?
13 now.
I'm going to say 9-4. Actually, maybe better.
I think 11-2.
Yeah.
11-2.
Yeah, damn it. I was like, they probably dropped 2-3, something like that. I don't know why I threw that fourth one in there, but yeah.
This is a 6th straight win on the second half of back-to-backs. And when you know you're not going to have Horford or Porzingis on either side of those games. Yeah, that's impressive stuff. So,
no, it is. It is for sure, man. And I just want to see more of what we've been seeing lately. One of these starters, a couple of these stars take a break, and another one jumps in to mix in with guys like Pritchard, Luke Kornet. You know, get their reps in. Get these guys, keep it going. Sam Hauser, you know, obviously he's looking good coming off of that ankle, you know, tweaking his ankle, almost hitting the record, and all of a sudden he's like flirting with it all over again. Like, I love that for this team, especially for guys like that, because they're going to play. This isn't one of those like, oh, yeah, you're just going to play now, and then in the playoffs, maybe we'll call your name. No, these guys' names are going to get called. So I want to be able to look back at these games during the playoffs and being like, well, we saw that momentum going right into the postseason. Remember those last few weeks, or remember when Hauser drained 10 one night and then drained 7 three-pointers the next? Like, of course he drained the big three-point shot in that fourth quarter. You know what I mean? Like, that's – those games are going to happen. And I feel like Hauser is not only ready for that, but he's showing you that how much he's evolved as a shooter overall, doing things that the team needs him to do, and then Pritchard just doing the same. You know, I want to see more of it for sure. And I know I talked about it briefly before, right at the beginning of the show, but I love what we saw from Al Horford, man. I'm so excited for another playoff Al. You know, like, it's
he's ramping up
versions,
huh?
Like, year after year, it's like different versions of it, but it's still impressive because not only because he's older, but he's just able to adapt to any new role you give him. A lot was made about him coming off the bench, you know, what's going to happen, how is he going to adapt, and he's just passed every test with flying colors this season. And then here he goes again, dropping 23 points tonight. It made it look easy, man. So I love it. I love what we're seeing.
You take that for granted every year, and it looks like he's going to do it again. So, yeah, the more involved he can be, the better.
And let's face it, guys. His numbers go up. It's his if you look at his splits last season or the year before, especially when they went to the finals, I mean, his shooting percentages, his averages, it goes up across the board. So I don't think this year will be much different. But I do – like, I'm looking forward to those games where, like, Al is just like, oh, man, look out. You know, he's doing it again. So that's something I look forward to. And he keeps giving us hints. You know, I think these are kind of hints of everything that's happened this year, a sense of not playing second half of back-to-back. Spot starts always been solid. You know what I mean? Like, it's just he's continuing that consistency and is flowing right into the end of the year and right into the postseason. I can't wait to see it all play out.
Yeah, for sure. And few quick notes on the Hawks who are coming up next. Bruno Fernando, I believe, had 24 points tonight, including a massive dunk on
you
Grant Williams. He's playing with
that was on Grant.
Onyeka Okongwu. Yeah. No love for Grant. I think they were teammates at one point too here in Boston.
Break, man.
25 points in 26 minutes for Bruno Fernando, the former Celtic.
well, we'll see Grant soon, right? When the last stop of this road trip is in Charlotte, so. Man, what a year for Graham.
Yeah, Trae Young out as well right now. I believe Jalen Johnson is out with an ankle and will probably miss both of these games, as well as AJ Griffin. So a banged-up Hawks team that's hanging in the playoffs still has a chance to meet the Celtics in the playoffs. I read these to the chat earlier, and this is the last point I'll have here before we log off.
I'm loving these numbers.
Right now, the Celtics' postseason probability, according to Basketball Reference, who tracks this game in and game out. Right now, the odds of being the 8 seed, so that outright 8 seed, so who's going to play the Celtics in round one coming into tonight, is the Miami Heat with 25.5% chance of facing the Celtics. Second are the Sixers with 23.5%. The Bulls, who, of course, the Celtics saw tonight, pretty close at 20.9%. They are probably going to be in that game to play against the Celtics. So underrated possibility there. Hawks, 18%. And the Pacers, who are starting to figure it out a little bit, 9.6%. So it's looking like Heat or Sixers potentially there. Probably the loser of that 7-8 game. And it's almost certainly looking like that 7-8 game is going to be Sixers-Heat the way things are going late this year. It looks like Embiid could get back for April.
I don't know if you want that smoke, man. You want to get the momentum up. You almost want things to play out the way they did last year.
You
want to
see the Bucks, right? You beat them last year. You could do it again.
Yeah. Like, if you're the Miami Heat, I'm like, do we really want to go up against a fresh Celtics team with everything they've been doing this year? You know, like, I don't know. I feel like they need to sort of find that stride and kind of build up the – I mean, don't get me wrong. It'll still be a great series. But for Celtics fans out there maybe saying, oh, you don't want to face Miami in the first round – I don't know. This year, things might be different. Last year, yes, that would have applied. Maybe Joe Mazzulla is not the head coach, but I don't know. I mean, Latrell, what do you think?
I don't know.
You want the
man.
Easy series or the tough one?
I mean, it's hard for me to look at Miami and feel any type of fear about them.
Right.
They're not that good this year. And again, that's not a knock on anyone. Just the way that roster is constructed, and I look at the Celtics and the way their roster is constructed and the additions that they've made, specifically Porzingis and Drew Holiday, I don't feel the kind of fear that Miami normally puts into you because of who they are, how they play, and their head coach. I just don't see it. I don't feel it this year.
Same. I don't either.
It's a matchup nightmare, 1-5, which is obviously what Brad Stevens had in mind when he went to that offseason and made all those changes. But from what we've seen throughout the matchups, and then they're battling injuries, like that last game when they played down in Miami, I'm thinking, okay, they got Rozier, they're going to get some guys implemented into the system. By now, I figured they'd be one of those teams, like, oh, look out for them, but they still haven't reached that.
I just hate to say that, though, Joe Sway, because that's exactly what we said going into the series last year, even after they had won two series. So I think it is a little different in first round, but it's going to be tough.
Because I thought once the Celtics won game six, that, you know, that was a wrap, but Tatum got hurt in the first play, and you guys know how the rest played out. So I don't know, man. Like, again, I just think the Miami Heat are super scary in a matchup against the Celtics when they have all the confidence in the world. I just don't think it's there. I think it's on the other side. I think it's on Boston's side. You know, if in a hypothetical,
I'm rooting for it. I think it'll
first
be great
round series, and a trip to Miami would be fun as well. So I'm
the trip.
I'm for it, man. I like that. I like those first three choices for sure.
The trip, of course, but also it's just a great story. And if you can get by them, I think that sets such a good tone. And if you're gonna go out and lose to them, or it's gonna be really difficult, I think you're in a bad place no matter what path you take to the finals. So you have to get out of the way. You have to just face the fire early. Not be bored, not be sleepwalking to the first round. I think that would be good for this team. We all remember 2022 against the Nets, and they swept that series, and I think it was good for them long term that postseason. So we'll keep an eye on that every night. We'll give you those numbers every night here on the show. Just 11 games left until the playoffs. We're really in the stretch run here. Want to get healthy. Want to wrap up these wins. Celtics inch a little bit closer to the 08 Celtics, who won 66 games. They need just 9 more to get there. And then 10 more wins matches 86, who won 67 for second best season in Celtics history. If they win out, I think they tie the best season in Celtics history, which is 73. So that's certainly possible here, but some good games coming up. These next two are not them, but we will have live coverage down there regardless of what we see on the floor. And hopefully some, you know, good stuff out of practice and shoot arounds and stuff as well. So looking forward to it. Stay tuned to Celtics All Access, CLNS Media. Support our sponsors. They're big reasons we're able to give you coverage like this every single night. Nutrafol.com/men for $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping. That's a great trial there. Don't just wait to start seeing some loss in your hair. Get ahead of it with Nutrafol and see what it can do for you. Just give it a try with Nutrafol.com/men. Use the code GARDEN. And of course, Prize Picks right now, great time of year to play it. Try it out. Get 100% matching deposit up to $100 with the code CLNS when you sign up. That's prizepicks.com/CLNS. The Celtics win their 9th straight game, about to match that season high potentially here in Atlanta. And if the Bucks lose tomorrow, the Celtics officially clinch the 1 seed in the Eastern Conference on March 24th, which is amazing to think about. The Warriors, who were the last team to win a conference by 10 games, didn't do it until March 28th in 2015. So Celtics might do it a couple of days earlier than the Warriors did that year. And of course, that Warriors team went on to win it all for the first of 4 titles out there. So that's the comparison I found historically out there. He's Josue Pavone. Check out his new episode with Cedric Maxwell, talking about a conversation with Joe Mazzulla that Max had that was great to hear about. Check out A. Sherrod Blakely's Big Three podcast with Kwani, as well as Gary Washburn, Kwani Lunis and Gary Washburn. Check them out. I know Josue was just on there as well. So go subscribe to that as well. Dome Theory, we got a new episode coming tomorrow over on our side as well there. Talking about this Ohtani stuff. I don't know what the hell is going on there. So we're going to continue to unravel that. Some fun March games as well. Yeah. So a lot to talk about right now in sports and pop culture. We do that over there. I know Kendrick's up to something.
Those memes have been hilarious, man. The whole Ohtani thing. Crazy.
Kendrick's up to something too right now, Josue. We're going to talk about that as well.
What do you mean he's up to something? Oh, yeah. After Drake and J. Cole. Like something else. Yeah, man. I got plenty to say on that as well. We can get into that another time.
So, maybe we'll have you on. That's it for tonight. Garn Report. Celtics win 124-113. Next game on Monday against the Hawks in Atlanta. 1-2 down there. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Thanks for voting in our poll. And we will talk to you then. Good night, everybody.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.